All right, Kat, live in Durham for us. Thanks so much. The cyber attack on the Colonial Pipeline may have revealed a soft spot in our gas distribution system. North Carolina and many other states rely very heavily on what flows through that pipe. WREL Investigates has a closer look at the reasons why. It's one of the stories we're following right now at 6.
Now, breaking news from WREL. Coverage you can count on.
And right now on WREL, we have live team coverage on two breaking stories making national news at this hour. We're live in Elizabeth City, where Andrew Brown Jr.'s family just watched video, and his son says his father didn't deserve to die. We have much more of that reaction coming up in about 3 minutes. And we have team coverage of a story that really hits close to home for all drivers, calls to stop panic buying of gasoline as some stations run out of some supply here in the Triangle and beyond. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. I'm Deborah Morgan.
And I'm David Crabtree. And here's what you need to know right now about the rush at the pumps. The message from Governor Cooper. Please don't do this. Don't rush to top off your tanks. A separate tweet from the Attorney General reminds everyone price gouging law now in effect in North Carolina. This as the demand collectively rose 40% yesterday in five of the southeastern states served by the Colonial Pipeline. All of this according to the price track app Gas Buddy. The pipeline, you'll remember, stopped operating Friday after a ransomware attack. We have a team of reporters tracking the situation as demand is spiking in the area. We have six crews in the air and on the ground this evening examining the situation and the ripple effects of this panic buying. Let's begin with an update from Mark Boyle in the Live Center. Mark?
We keep getting updates. The most recent update coming in from Fort Bragg, operating on what's being described as a limited supply right now of fuel. An additional supply is expected later this evening. Gas Buddy operates and aggregates data from all across the country. North Carolina has 8.5% of its gas stations with no fuel at all. The app essentially has been crashed. It has been down for the past hour. One indication how many people are trying to track down where gas is and where it's not available tonight. Back to you.
Mark, thank you.
Well, we've been watching the lines at the pumps grow all day. During our new newscast, Sky 5 showed us this scene at the Costco on Wake Forest Road in Raleigh. WREL's Brian Schrader is live right now in Sky 5 for us. Brian, what are you seeing and where are you exactly right now?
We are on Western Boulevard, not too far from Gorman Street. This is the Speedway station there, not too far from where that Food Lion Shopping Center is. And you can see the people who are lined up trying to get their hands on whatever gas they have left in the tanks there. And as we pan across here along Western Boulevard, you can see there at the bottom of your screen a Raleigh police cruiser and what appears to be a minor crash there. Not sure if that's related to the backups, people trying to get into the gas station. Sort of the rule of thumb that we've noticed from the air today and also from the ground, if there are no lines at the gas station, that's a pretty good indicator there's no gas at that station. A lot of people slowing down, taking a look at the pumps, seeing the bags on the handles, and then driving off. But where there is gas, there are some significant lines all over the Triangle. Deborah?
WREL's Brian Schrader live for us in WREL Sky 5. Thank you, Brian. Now, counties in our area are already taking steps to conserve the fuel they have in place. Starting Wednesday, Durham schools will pause driver's education classes to save fuel. Onslow County government restricted its 350 county vehicles to essential travel this morning. Wayne County government says it is asking non-emergency departments to avoid unnecessary travel and take other steps to save fuel. Counties in the Wilmington area are already asking drivers to conserve fuel and not to panic buy at the pumps.
Experts say that they're asking you to stop topping off the tank because it adds to the lines and to the problems. WREL's Joe Fisher has been on the ground all day talking with drivers. Some say they're not panicked, they're being prudent, Joe.
David, we have seen long lines for hours, including here at this Sheets in Morrisville. People are still coming in at this hour, but here's the problem as we bring you over here. They're coming in and no gas is available. Actually, about an hour ago, they put up these signs here saying that they are out of regular fuel. They put these plastic plastic bags over the pumps. So a lot of people are pulling up, they're reading these signs, and then just hoping that there is another gas station close by that they can hopefully get some gas. AAA reports that gas, the average price of gas in North Carolina is up 6 cents since just yesterday, up 12 cents since last week. I talked to one driver about a half hour ago. He pulled in here. He said that he could not get gas, but he has only 30 miles left on his tank.
I'm scratching, and if I have to, I'll call my wife. I do have some gas in my big gas can for my lawnmower. I'll have her bring that just so I can at least get home.
I have a half a tank. I always top off. I top off once a week. I just keep it topped off, so I'm good to next week if I need to be.
And a live look here at the sheets. You're looking at some more confusion as drivers, they're kind of coming by. Lauren, let's pan over this way. You're seeing them kind of shaking their heads as they come on by here, just not able to get their gas. I did talk with the manager here at Sheets and a couple of other gas station managers. They tell me that while they might be temporarily out of gas, they're still hopeful they're going to get shipments either tonight or tomorrow. Shipments that typically come from the Colonial Pipeline in Selma, they say, are now coming from Wilmington. David.
Joe, I'm just curious very quickly, how much gas do you have in the news vehicle?
We actually were close to E this morning and filled up before much of this rush. We actually started our day in Clayton, moved to Raleigh, then Apex and Durham. So we've been all over the place. And I'll tell you, it's only progressively gotten worse. We were at the Costco on Wake Forest Road earlier in Raleigh. People there were waiting 30 to 35 minutes to fill up their tank.
Joe Fisher live in Morrisville. Joe, thank you. So how did we end up so dependent on a single pipeline to deliver our gasoline? WREL Investigates takes a closer look at the infrastructure in North Carolina and what our other options are. That's coming up at 6:15. And the national picture is one of the stories you'll hear tonight on NBC Nightly News.
The COVID-delayed tax filing deadline now less than 2 weeks away. If you collected stimulus or unemployment money, what you should know before you file. Plus, I take a look at another pandemic byproduct, internet addiction, when we see you for NBC Nightly News.
And also breaking tonight, in the last hour, we heard the first reaction from the family of Andrew Brown Jr. after watching the video of his death. WREL's Amanda Lamb is live in Elizabeth City right now with that reaction. Amanda.
Deborah, that press conference with the family and the attorneys for Andrew Brown's family ended just a few minutes ago. They went inside the sheriff's office around 3 o'clock. They spent about 2 hours and 20 minutes in there, and they were permitted to see about 20 minutes or a little less of that 2-hour video. Their reaction was universally that it was unjustified. Now, the family arrived this afternoon, like I said, around 3 o'clock to see this video of where Brown was shot and died in his car on April 21st as a team of deputies in tactical gear tried to serve a search warrant for drugs at his home. Now, his family says unequivocally the video shows he was trying to get away, that he posed no threat, that his hands were visible the entire time, and that the officers unloaded too many rounds for them to count. He was shot in the back of the head, and that's what killed him. Again, attorneys and the family reacted very emotionally to seeing these videos.
There were so many shots that we found difficulty in counting the number of shots that his vehicle received. At some point, there was a final shot where it appeared that at that final shot, Mr. Brown lost control.
And that's when they say he hit the tree, and they then went to the car, pulled his body out, and Sheriff Tommy Wooten said that they did try to perform life-saving measures on him, and obviously none of those worked. They called 911, and he was taken to the hospital and pronounced dead. The sheriff did go on Facebook this afternoon, and he talked about seeing the video, bringing them in to see the video in this building, and how this was the right thing to do. He said that he does want this video released publicly. He said his heart goes out to the family, and he actually thanked the community for the peaceful protest. There are a few protesters left here. They've been protesting every single day, taking to the streets since Andrew Brown was killed. We expect that again tonight. But again, the sheriff said he appreciated how people were using their voices to demonstrate, and not breaking the law at this point. Now, as far as when the general public can see this video, a lot of people here really want to know when that's going to happen. And the judge on April 25th ruled that it would be no sooner than 30 days and no later than 45 days. And of course, activists in this community say that we should all be able to see it and be able to make this decision for ourselves. So a very emotional day, Deborah, for people here in Elizabeth City and Pasquotank County.
Absolutely. And we will continue to follow this to see when the videos will be released for everyone to see. Amanda Lamb live in Elizabeth City. Our coverage continues now with Mark Boyle in the WRL Live Center with the reaction from the Pasquotank County Sheriff. Mark?
Deborah, Amanda mentioned that Facebook video the sheriff posted to Facebook. He did so right after that press conference that we had here live for you on WREL. The entire Facebook video is less than 2 minutes in length. Here's part of it right now from the sheriff's office.
We continue to express our condolences to the Brown family and let our deputies know that we love and support them, as this was a day that no one wanted. Today, we showed all the footage authorized by the courts to the Brown family.
We'll continue to follow reaction from not just the family and the sheriff's office, but the entire community as well tonight. Back to you.
All right, Mark, thank you. And this case has prompted state lawmakers to make changes to body cam video law. House and Senate leaders held a news conference today on the issue. Under current law, the victim or family has to petition a court to see body cam video. The changes in progress would give them the right to see the video within 5 days unless a judge seals it. However, it still would not be released to the public without a court order.
Next at 6, our coverage at the pumps continues as WREL investigates what's behind the panic buying.
North Carolina's fuel supply relies heavily on a pipeline that dates back to World War II. We've dealt with shutdowns before, but why this run on gas has some added challenges this time.
We had a dry day today, but we see rain coming in from the west. I'll show you how cool it will be tomorrow and how wet it will be in our forecast coming up.
Welcome back. You're looking at a live picture from WREL Sky 5, Capitol Boulevard and Old Buffalo Road. As you can see, a line of cars stretching out under that canopy waiting to buy gasoline. As Brian Schrader mentioned earlier, if you pass a gas station of any type and there's no line, more than likely there's no gas. Well, all of this rush to buy gas caused by the temporary Colonial Pipeline shutdown shows just how sensitive our distribution system is.
WREL Investigates' Cullen Browder talked to an industry expert today about supply, demand, and fear. Cullen joins us now live in Cary with a little history. Cullen?
Well, Deborah and David, first a gas update here at the Valero on Kildare Farm Road. No gas you'll find. However, they do have diesel. Just make sure your car takes diesel. We've seen some people pull up, almost make that mistake. So the pipeline that we rely on so heavily here in North Carolina and up the East Coast was actually built during World War II because of fears that German U-boats would sink our tanker ships. Over the years, that particular pipeline has taken some hits, and now those pipelines are coming under fire from a cyber attack. North Carolina has been here and done this before. 2016, an explosion and leaks shut down the Colonial Pipeline supply. 2017, Hurricane Harvey disrupted the flow again, leading to the long lines at gas stations.
Are we too reliant on this one pipeline?
It does cause problems for everybody, but what's the alternative?
Gary Harris, who leads the North Carolina Petroleum and Convenience Marketers, says public controversy over building another pipeline combined with the high cost and similar vulnerability of electric infrastructure leaves hard choices.
The system has served well, but trying to upgrade it is going to be a monumental task.
With Colonial shutdown again, Harris argues the 40% jump in demand across the Southeast in recent days is driven by fear, not real need.
This is an example of panic buying, yes. People really don't need this product, They just want to make sure that their tanks are topped off.
While the state of emergency will allow tanker drivers more hours and capacity to deliver fuel, there's a lingering COVID-related problem. Many companies that laid off truckers during the pandemic face challenges getting them back to work.
We've got fewer drivers out there, so that is kicking in to pick up fewer loads.
Harris expects the gas supplies to continue to drain and prices rise, at least through the weekend. He pleads with drivers to find some patience.
Basically, the entire inventory of the state of North Carolina is on four wheels right now because everybody's bought it and because they're scared.
So Harris compares the run on gas to the run on toilet paper that we saw during the pandemic last year. Want to let you know also that today the EPA issued some waivers for some states to allow some lower grade gas to flow into the marketplace. That is not yet the case for North Carolina. They're not included in the waiver. However, we understand that they are considering expanding that waiver. David and Deborah.
Well, it makes you realize how dependent people are on gasoline. Cullen Browder live in Raleigh. Thank you, Cullen. Find the cost of gas before you leave home with the WRL Fuel Tracker. The Fuel Tracker on the WRL app or WRL.com is also mapping supply so you can see where others have temporarily run out.
It is a great night for baseball. Take a look. You can see the DBAP and the park in Fayetteville as well, because the Bulls and the Woodpeckers have their home openers tonight. Both games begin at 6:30. Meteorologist Mike Mays joining us now. Two things about the game tonight, Mike.
What's that?
Mandy Cohen's going to be throwing out the first pitch.
Sweet.
Yeah, you know, Dr. Fauci did with the Nationals. Let's see how well she does. And Deborah Morgan's going to be singing at the seventh inning stretch. Yeah. Take me out to the ball game.
I
look forward to
what
hearing
a
that.
Night it is going to be.
Yeah, and cooler than what we had yesterday, David. We had an 81 degree high yesterday, 70 today. The air feels so good. So nice to sit on the bleachers. But once the sun starts to set, it's going to get a little cool. So the folks out there will probably see 50s by the end of the game. It'll be comfortable, though. Heading over to Goldsboro, still a little residual cloud cover left over, 69 there. We head over to Southern Pines, the Longleaf Family Golfing Center, I should say, 69, with a lot of sunshine. Earlier, about a half hour ago to 45 minutes ago, there was quite a bit of cloud cover. So you want to get your steps in this evening. 69 is the current temperature, 67 at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 65. We have mostly clear sky now. By 8 o'clock, partly cloudy. Overnight, we'll see increasing clouds as the next system begins to roll on in. Now, I showed you this at 5 o'clock, but we got distracted by the press conference, so I wanted to go through this again. At 11 o'clock tonight, we look at mostly clear to partly cloudy sky, still mild, but the clouds thicken up overnight. This is due to all the moisture off to the west that will be approaching the area. By 5 a.m., we're looking at mostly cloudy skies, some rain in the southern part of the state. Now, on the models, it looks like a lot of moisture is coming on in, but some of this will evaporate before it reaches the ground, so it's more likely our southern counties will see that precipitation make its way to the ground. The northern counties, it may be some sprinkles, some very spotty light rain. 54 at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning here in the Triangle. By the time we get to lunchtime, temperatures are in the 50s, and then tomorrow afternoon in the 50s with the rain tapering off from west to east. By 5, 6 o'clock, we're still in the 50s with cloud cover, and that will tend to clear out as we head into the evening. Now, we could have a record low maximum temperature attained tomorrow. 58 is the forecast high. 58 is the record low high set back in 1960. Fayetteville's forecast high, 59, the old record low high, 61 set back in 1949. So we expect a very cool day with the rain. But we do warm up. 69 on Thursday. It's mostly cloudy. 73 on Friday. Beautiful weekend ahead, Deb. Highs in the mid-70s. Maybe another shot at rain for next Tuesday. But the rain we expect tomorrow will be on the light side. But boy, will it be ever so cool.
Well, and I just want to clarify for all you Bulls fans, do not go to the stadium because I will not be singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game at the seventh inning stretch. So Chris just asked me just to make sure. Yeah. So I'm just
wanted to make sure. David tells us.
Not happening.
If so, I would like to put it in sports tonight, but
no,
I guess it's not happening.
I would get panned big time, trust me.
It's opening night for the Durham Bulls as baseball returns to Durham for the first time since 2019. Next in sports, it's also a return for a player who spent 3.5 years on the sideline with injuries. Casey Hintz will have a live report from the D-back. That's next. Minor League Baseball was sorely missed as a gathering spot for families and friends in 2020. And while we're not out of the woods yet with this pandemic, baseball is back in Durham. Casey Hintz joins us live from the D-back with a preview of opening day. Casey.
Chris, when minor league baseball returned last week, well, most of these guys out here hadn't played a real meaningful game in over a year. Well, that's pale in comparison to the nearly 4 years that Bulls pitcher Brent Honeywell Jr. missed due to multiple surgeries. But he says he wouldn't give any of it back.
Everybody takes different things away from the game of baseball. It's like, you know, no journey is the same, and that's the cool part about this game.
Brent Honeywell's journey once had him near the top of baseball's prospects list, but that journey was thrown a curveball in 2018 that began with Tommy John surgery, followed by three more operations on his throwing arm.
I was under some watchful eyes for the last few years, and it was definitely a controlled environment for the ATS, which put me in a better spot than I had really imagined coming back from the 3 or 4 years that I missed out on.
The righty says he couldn't have done it without family support, but who he really credits is the Tampa Bay Rays organization.
Now, I got nothing but respect for these guys. I mean, they stuck with me for 4 years, and it probably wasn't easy to do, and they do a hell of a job here.
The Rays backed up their commitment when Honeywell was called up last month to make his major league debut. Pitching coach Kyle Snyder's advice? Take it all in.
Strike three call.
I did. I took it in and went out and had two pretty good innings, and it was definitely a lot of fun. It was something that I looked forward to ever since I was 5 years old. I mean, it was something that you can't really put into words.
Although being optioned down to the Bulls, for Honeywell, right now it's all about staying the course.
Being on the field is a blessing in itself, and I think, you know, knowing that I can go out and pitch every third or fourth or fifth day whenever they need me is definitely a plus for me. And, you know, getting on and off the field healthy is definitely number one.
Now, it would have been storybook if he was starting tonight, but instead it's going to be Joe Ryan on the bump, but we can expect to see Honeywell later on in this homestand. Now, first pitch is coming up in just about 20 minutes. Of course, we're going to have a recap coming up for you tonight at 10 and 11. Chris.
All right. Thank you, Casey. Can't wait to see that tonight. Tune in at 10 and 11 for more on this game.
Chris, thank you, and thanks for joining us. Nightly News is next with a closer look at how vulnerable the country is to cyber attacks like the one that shut down the Colonial Pipeline.
And stay with us for our news at 7 o'clock. The change is coming for a dangerous intersection. See you then.